can buy me a boat. Till I can buy me a boat. Till I can buy me a boat. The music of Harry Shearer from his Bushmen CD that, along with a video available at mydamnchannel.com, and that's exactly what, well, I'll, let me tell you, that's Harry Shearer is may have captured Karl Rove as well as he's been captured by anybody other than the person joining us on the air right now, Jim Moore, who's out joining us from Michigan. Welcome to KVMR, Jim. There we go. Hi. Yeah, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks.
And well, thank you very much for joining us here this morning. We're proud to have you here. And, of course, you're the author of Bush's Brain and the Architect. Of course, Bush's Brain, I think, has now become ingrained in the American psyche.
I'm glad of that. You know, it's sort of become a part of the American zeitgeist, as you suggest. And I think one of the things a friend of mine told me not too long ago was that Karl Rove and I can only be sure of two words in our obituaries. We're both going to be carrying Bush's brain in the obits for us.
One way to look at it, I guess. There, well, of course, Karl Rove has become a commentator for Fox News, and of course is totally unaffiliated with the McCain campaign, who he's advising, quote, informally, end quote. What do you see as happening will we see a Karl Rove imprint on the rest of the McCain campaign?
Well, I think his imprimatur is always there for Republicans because they look to him as a guy who set the standard for meanness and tactics. And if ever Rove is going to be providing any sort of informal advice, it's going to be occurring over the last weeks of this campaign. And I think you've already seen some of that begin to take place in Sarah Palin trying to connect to Barack Obama in some meaningful way, to Ayers and the so-called Weatherman terrorist, and all of the nastiness that's going to come out in the last month, whether it's Swift voting or whatever it is by McCain and company, is going to come directly from the brain of Karl Rove. He's the one directing this, these tactics, and it is an informal way. He's not paid, but he's offering advice. He's taking phone calls, and as this thing gets uglier, just as it did in Sarah Palin's speech today, you can see Karl Rove.
One thing I noticed over the weekend, Associated Press also, you know, you don't normally see Associated Press calling the accusations that Palin made unsubstantiated and downright false. I believe was the exact quote from the Associated Press article.
Yeah, that was an encouraging sign, because if we'd have had that kind of reporting when we were running up to the war, we might not have had a war. But it's good to see the AP, which tends to be very, very conservative and very straight down the middle, and by conservative I mean journalistically and not politically, they just don't make those kinds of statements unless it's a columnist or someone of that nature. And for a journalist to be able to go out and very easily prove that this material is without merit and without basis, and then to write it, and to also suggest that it is racially tinged. I think you probably saw that too. So that's an encouraging sign for me that that there are people who are out there saying this is true and this isn't true, and they are unbiased observers making these statements.
Did you feel a little bit like a alone in the woods a little bit at the beginning as you were putting together the Bush's Brain book? And of course, the Bush presidency at that point was quite a popular enterprise, if I recall.
Yeah, well, actually, I take great pride in that. And, you know, in spite of what it looks like to a lot of people, I didn't make much money off of the book, even though it was a New York Times bestseller. And I've taken a lot of grief. I find myself on the no-fly watch list, and I'm constantly harangued by people on websites and this kind of nonsense. And, you know, my phone was bugged. I had telephone conversations interrupted, and you know, I didn't go anywhere without getting harassed. But, you know, as I told my wife not too long ago that, and my daughter that I'm very proud of being at the head of the line when it came to warning people about these guys. And, I have zero regrets about that. And, I think history has obviously borne out everything that I wrote and everything that I warned them about. And, even though I didn't make a lot of money off of this deal, I'm pleased that I've had some impact on the process.
And we should point out, I mean, just talking about some of the things that have happened to you, that both you and your co-author Wayne Slater come from mainstream press in Texas. You're not from one of those kooky fringe, you know, publications or something like that. We're talking about, right in the mainstream press.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that is important. In fact, I was a television news correspondent for 22 years, and I had both Republicans and Democrats constantly busting my chops, telling me I was unfair. But one thing that I will always remember is a very conservative Democrat in Texas who ran for the U.S. Senate and ran for governor and failed both times. When he retired, he and I ran into each other at a political event, and he came up and put his arm around me and he said, "You know, Moore, I used to think you were an SOB and you treated me like an SOB." And he said, "You know, I looked at your coverage of everybody and I realized you treated everybody like an SOB." So, you know, to me, that's fairness. You know, what they call treating like an SOB is holding their feet to the fire. And, you know, and Ann Richards didn't like me any more than the Republicans did. So,
well, I think that gives even more credence to exactly what you've been writing in these two books. And of course, been saying on when your fairly regular appearances on MSNBC and some of the other cable outlets.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Steve. I mean, my goal has been always, not just as a commentator, but as a journalist, people write something that is nonsense, you have to call them on it. In fact, you know, my wife was a little upset last night that I got an email from a friend who, a mutual friend, had blame the current credit crisis on Bill Clinton. And, of course, my head exploded and I couldn't sleep, so I had to set up and write a four-page single-spaced email explaining the history of the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act and Phil Gramm's Commodity Futures Trading Modernization Act and George Bush signing it and completely eliminating all of the regulation for credit swaps. I mean, this stuff was done by Republicans on a Republican's watch, and yet, you know, many conservatives are still trying to stick everything from this to cancer on Bill Clinton as if he invented it.
Well, of course, when we're speaking to you in Michigan, where I know you're visiting your daughter, I believe, at the University of Michigan, but Michigan became quite a significant state last Thursday when the John McCain campaign announced that they were pulling out of Michigan and basically giving it to the Barack Obama to Barack Obama.
Yeah, the Obama campaign is way ahead in Michigan now. It was a toss-up state, and a number of John McCain's operatives here are very angry about this. And one of them was quoted the other day as saying the pullout is a bunch of crap, and McCain has just basically abandoned Michigan Republicans and turned them over to Obama. But the truth is that, you know, the unemployment here in Michigan is, I think, 6.6%. It's above the national average. 30,000 jobs disappeared last year. People are leaving the state. It's one of the few states in America that has consistently had a declining population because there's no work here. And, you know, a lot of the jobs that were with the automotive industry in this state have ended up overseas under Republican administration. So people are pretty angry. Obama's going to win this state. And in the other industrial states in the Midwest, you know, places that are a toss-up are now either in his column or they're tilting in his direction. I mean, I don't want to be overly optimistic because these next four weeks are going to be brutal in terms of the negative attack ads, and they're going to take a toll. But I don't see any way that Barack Obama can lose this election at the moment.
And even Karl Rove is saying that on Fox News over the weekend, giving Obama right now the states of, I believe, of Iowa and New Mexico and, I believe, Colorado, saying that that would be enough for him to win it, you know, just with those, notwithstanding what happens in, say, Ohio or Florida or Virginia.
Yeah, you know, and Steve, I check with friends of mine who are pollsters, and I check all of the daily polls, and every trend line is going in Obama's direction. I looked at 9 polls this morning, and Obama was ahead by, at the smallest amount, 6 percentage points, and the highest amount, 13. So I can't imagine a candidate being in a better position going into the last weeks of a presidential campaign, but you just never know in this country what people are going to respond to. So, if the forces of light are going to succeed, I think they have to be ever vigilant this go around.
And what do you think the economic situation is going to play? Particularly, I guess Wall Street is again in decline today, and some people are wondering whether this is Black Monday around the world.
Well, I've been in the midst of this. I do a lot of business development consulting for a financial services company that manages a number of major brokerages on Wall Street. So I've been in the midst of this in constant conference calls and fretting and worrying and everything else. And I don't think it's over. I mean, it's good to see that the dollar is doing well that the price of oil is going down. But in terms of securities and bundled credit swaps, I don't think that's over. The derivatives are going to come home to roost, and that's going to cause another problem. And bundled credit card debt overseas is going to come back, and I think things are going to go down even further. More jobs are going to disappear. There are going to be more mortgages that are foreclosed. So I don't think we're to the bottom of this. I'm worried that we could go as low as 7,500 on the Dow, and if people panic, we could go even lower. So it's not over by any stretch of the imagination, and it could go on for several months.
I was going, when did you have time to become an economics expert? I thought you were busy covering politics in Texas. That's a full-time job.
Yeah, well, I don't mess with Texas politics much anymore. And truth is, when I was a journalist, I did mostly national politics, although, since I was in Texas, I did a lot of Texas politics. But I traveled a lot on presidential campaigns. And the economic stuff has been something I've been interested in forever and ever. And, and I got involved in a couple of startup companies and offered them advice, and these companies have succeeded. So I've stayed on top of things in terms of the markets and economics. So,
well, we thank you very much for joining us here this morning, Jim Moore. Right now, your prediction would be that Obama appears to be the winner.
I think Senator Obama, it's his to lose, and I don't think he can lose it. I think he's on point, and he's saying the right things, and people continue to respond to him, and I'm pretty well convinced that the negative attacks aren't going to take their toll because people saw them last go around and they aren't buying them this time.
And do you think also the Democrats are obviously going to make some gains in the Senate? Is it possible that they're going to make enough gains to get up to 60 votes? And then when you get up to about that number, maybe even Rick Noriega, who's the Democratic candidate for Senate in Texas, do you think he's got a chance?
Well, Texas is not in play yet, but the trend lines in Texas, again, are pointing upward for Democrats, and they are flat or down for Republicans. Because there's just as I say, that race cannot be measured in a lot of these polls because people won't acknowledge their antipathy towards people of another race. In Texas, anti-Republicanism can't be measured in the polls because you don't see people acknowledging it. But Texas isn't in play yet, but it is not impossible that Rick Noriega do this. But at the moment, I think the odds are against him.
Jim Moore, author of Bush's Brain and the Architect, we want to thank you for joining us. I believe you can also, you occasionally write on the HuffingtonPost.com as well, correct?
That's correct.
So that's another place where people can track down some of what you're up to.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on KVMR this morning.
My pleasure to be with you, Steve. Talk to you again soon.
Okay. Jim Moore giving us an update on the presidential race from the viewpoint of somebody who has been following the career of Karl Rove long enough to have written two books about just that very topic.